Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. We have a great show for you today. Julie and I stumbled across a really good article by Tony Robbins, which we are in lockstep with because a lot of the points, he wrote down seven really great points. A lot of these points are just absolutely perfectly in alignment with the things we say on the podcast. So, of course, we'd like it. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to read you these 7 points, and then we're going to obviously be doing our best to make it practical and tactical for your real estate business, or as I've come to realize, most of you are in the real estate, but a lot of you are just small business owners that are listening to us as well. So we are going to be presenting that information to you over the next 30 minutes. Julie, welcome to today's show.
Yes, thank you. And I have my mute button ready should I need to cough, thanks to what we're calling this cold number 17 of the school year. So that's okay.
Yes, exactly. We're quite convinced the children are bringing home, we have 1 5-year-old, and we're quite convinced that the, you know, everyone says, well, you won't get all the nasty things that your kid brings home from school. Well, we think the nasty things that kids are bringing home from school are completely operating on a different level than the nasty things we were exposed to when we were growing up.
Totally.
Especially here in Texas.
Oh,
here in Texas,
everything's
the nasty
bigger.
Colds and whatnot. Everything's bigger. They are hairy. They have big fangs. Whereas we're from Columbus, Ohio, and everything there was nice and easy and predictable. But here, when you get a cold, you have like limbs fall off. I mean,
stuff doesn't get killed off. I think it just gets stronger. A cold snap
maybe
just makes it fight back harder. Yeah.
Exactly. So I want to welcome all of our new coaching members to Premier Coaching. We have an enormous number of people that are coming to us for their coaching. And, you know, a lot of you guys are just starting out in real estate. Not in the practical, tactical, obvious sense that you just got your license, but a lot of you are starting out in real estate again for the year because you've been sort of on hiatus emotionally, mentally, and then as a result of being gone emotionally and mentally, you've also been on a hiatus financially. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people that are looking for a specific direction, so they join the Premier Coaching Program. And as always, and we mean this sincerely, we appreciate the honor of being your coaches. Your job, once you join the program, is to focus, follow one course until successful. So make sure that when you're in the coaching program, you actually do what we ask you to do. Don't try to recreate the wheel. Don't try to, you know, just don't do anything other than follow the exact map we put out in front of you. Our coaching program is not just some sort of feel-good, rah-rah, Mickey Mouse. We're actually giving you specific action plans on what you should be doing every single day, and we're telling you exactly how to compete. We're telling you how to win. We're telling you what to say, how to say it. All the things that you absolutely positively must know, that even the grizzled veterans that are listening right now, some of you may have been exposed to these things, but you have not actually, most of you, have not ever actually gotten good at real selling. And you can challenge me in your mind all you want. Hell, Tim, I sell bazillions of houses per year. Yes, but if I were to take you and I were to drop you into anywhere USA and you didn't have access to your centers of influence and past client list, for example, and you had to compete against one of my great agents that knows how to actually go out there and sell, for example, get an expired listing, you would have your ass handed to you. And the simple fact is the more success you have in real estate, the more likely you are to need coaching because you've removed yourself from the learning process. Your ego has told you that you've got it all figured out, so you don't need to actually start to improve your skill set. I can tell you that Julie and I, when we sold real estate, we suffered that. I remember very clearly, it was our third year in the business. So we had our first year, we sold over 100 houses. Our second year, we sold between 100 and 200. I don't remember the number, but I do remember our income increased significantly. Then our third year, Julie and I, because we'd gotten so much attention, we'd been flown to different areas of the country. We'd been on magazine covers. This is before the internet. So we had all these experiences, and we thought we had it all figured out. Everyone told us we were the greatest thing since sliced bread. All this ego-filling stuff for our little fragile egos that had never had that level of attention. So we actually started to absorb it and believe it, and we stopped learning ourselves. We stopped getting better. We stopped practicing. We started rationalizing that when we would have a failure, that it wasn't our fault, which ties in perfectly to one of our points today. So these are the types of things that happen to everybody, no matter where they are on the success spectrum. So whether you're a new agent, you're getting back in the business, or you're a grizzled veteran, you're somewhere in the middle, the reality of it is when you're in a market like this that's changing so rapidly, if you aren't like 10 steps ahead, you're going to walk into a listing appointment, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose. You're going to rationalize. You're not going to own the result. You're going to tell, which is another tie into a point number three for today, but you're going to tell yourself that it's because the other agent listed it higher. The other agent must have cut their commission. The other agent must have known them. You're going to rationalize your failure. You're not going to own your failure. And what happens as a result, you don't actually learn how to get better at your skill set. How many of you are guilty of that sin? I know it's all of you listening. Tens of thousands of you will listen to today's show. You're all guilty of that, so stop it, right? The only way to ultimately get better is when you do experience failure. You have to accept the fact that the failure is your responsibility. Again, tied to our points today, you have to accept the fact that it is your responsibility and acknowledge that your failure was your responsibility. Say it to yourself, internalize it, feel the failure. Don't allow your ego to rationalize why you failed. And by experiencing the feeling of failure, you're going to want to avoid it. And in order to avoid it, you're going to have to make it so that you don't experience it again. That means you're going to get better. Do you understand? And if you're not at this level of, frankly, personal maturity with your own ability to improve your own skill set, your own ability to, you know, help people accomplish their goals when it comes to being a great salesperson, because that's what a great salesperson does. They're helping other people accomplish their goals. If you're not there in your head, then you will not make it in a market like this, because other agents who do have their heads screwed on straight are going to get the business away from you. And then you're going to lose a year, and then you're going to call us a year from now, and you're going to remember listening to this podcast, and you're going to say, I wish I would have taken action back when I heard you talking, but my ego was in my way. These are the conversations that I want to avoid having with all of you. So what do you do? Text the word Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, to 31996. Text the word Harris to 31996. And when you do, we're going to give you 6 free books, including Real Estate Treasure Map, including Think and Grow Rich for Real Estate, but you're also going to be entitled to a free coaching call with one of our new member coaches. Yes, you'll hear about joining one of our coaching programs. Premier Coaching is the one that's perfect for all of you. But the other thing they're going to do is they're going to walk through your lead generation wheel and help you understand and how to replicate. Well, maybe you don't have sources of business. They'll help you identify what your sources of business should be. And if you do have sources of business, they'll help you to learn how to replicate. And you know, obviously, if you're getting business from, say, for example, your centers of influence and past clients, we should be, before adding any new spokes, drilling down and making better what you're doing. That's what the free coaching call is about. So text the word Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, to 31996. Any other points, Julie? Added points to that?
Nope. You've covered it all. Perfect. So,
all right. So listen, guys.
This is to do about all this.
Yeah. Well, Tony Robbins is coming out with a new book. And in his new book, he is talking about – I like how he positioned this. It's clever, right? So the title of this article that we came across was, in essence, talking about 7 lies that successful people tell themselves. And, you know, I thought, well, obviously it's attention-grabbing, and he's trying to, you know, get people to read the article. It got my attention, right? You know, maybe trying to get people to read his book. But then I read through his points – and I don't think he actually means these points are literal lies, but they are.
Yeah.
But they are basically your arm wrestling with your mindset. Your arm wrestling when you go through these points. Your arm wrestling with your ego. And so I think maybe that's what he's trying to explain. So Jill, you had a great introduction. You want to read it so our listeners can be on
sure.
the same page with us?
Well, so have you ever wondered why it is that the most successful people in the world seem to actually know how to produce the results that they wish for? We get this question on coaching calls quite frequently. Why is it that that person is doing so much better than maybe I am, or maybe you're the person who's so successful? What is it that these successful types have in common that allows them this ability? What makes them tick? It's all about their actual belief system, or what you might call their success strategy. And so Tony Robbins was getting into that in his book, and his points are very, very congruent with our findings as well. So while those beliefs may or may not be true, he called them lies, I think, you know, to get your attention. He says that these are vital to the foundation of excellence. We agree. Agents who succeed actually do think differently. They have trained themselves to create success by believing certain key things. For example, point number one, everything happens for a reason and a purpose, and it services us. Successful people focus on what's possible in a situation, no matter how much negative feedback they receive. They believe that adversity contains the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. Now, Napoleon Hill originally wrote that. I think that's off by maybe one word, okay? That adversity contains the seed of the benefit. And there's so many examples I thought of when I read this in real estate, you know, when a deal goes sideways. Well, you know what? It happened for a reason. I know you remember this, Tim, when a buyer would lose out on a house or for whatever reason, and they thought that was the one they actually end up buying was so much better than that one. We used to use that story all the time because it was so true. Everything happens for a reason. You weren't supposed to have that particular property because there's something better on the horizon. So, and again, on and on with different examples of this, but the difference is in how you think about it. You can't prevent things from happening with your transactions, with your clients and your prospects, but you can control how you're considering it. Where is the opportunity? And I think it comes down to flexibility and believing that there's still a positive outlook on this instead of what some people do is they freak out to the negative side as soon as anything happens. So one of the differences is how you are thinking about what happens. Things happen for a purpose, and it is to service you, your client, and the situation. Point number two, there is no such thing as failure. There are only results. Failure does not exist for successful people. If an outcome wasn't what they desired, they see it as a learning opportunity. Belief in failure is a way of poisoning the mind. So what we say about this is your job is to earn while you learn. You're not failing. You're just learning. To cast everything as a success or a failure doesn't go deep enough. You know, what we talk about is you've got to say it's too soon to tell. There's no such thing as failure. It's just too soon to tell. There's only results. What would you like to add to that, Tim?
Well, that's something, this whole too soon to tell thing is a great way ultimately to keep your emotions between the lines. What burns you out isn't the good experiences and the bad experiences. What burns you out is overly experiencing emotionally the good experiences, the bad experiences. Back in your business, use the word failure in your business. If you all of a sudden allow yourself to, you know, go down the rabbit hole of negative emotions, you're never going to come back out, or it's going to take you too long to come back out. And the same goes with having overly celebrating your victories. Same thing goes for a lot of things in life. So if you tell yourself it's too soon to tell, what it does is it forces you to have some emotional maturity and keeps your emotions between the lines. That way you don't have to have these big erratic swings, because when you experience these low lows, allow yourself, choose to experience these low lows and these high highs, you physically damage yourself if you do it too frequently. You're not designed for it. You wear yourself out prematurely, which means that you're not going to be very effective in your business. So remember that, listeners. It's too soon to tell. Hey, Julie, congratulations on your new best-selling book, which our book is coming out in June, and pre-selling is already looking like it's going to be a bestseller. Too soon to tell. You know, hey, listen, I'm really sorry, Julie, you didn't take that listing, that, you know, that million-dollar listing of whatever. It's too soon to tell because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know ultimately, for example, on the failure side of things, whether or not that seller is going to end up firing the agent that they hired and then hiring you anyway. So say it's too soon to tell.
At
guys,
a better
that's
price.
The way. That's, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Or when they're more motivated 6 months from now. Yeah.
Well,
next point,
and it does
Julie?
Go both ways. I mean, I remember we would take what we believed to be really killer, beautiful listings that we thought were priced right. And, you know, when you get a new listing, it's always, woohoo, that's awesome. But then you have the, it's too soon to tell, you still have to sell it. So, yes, it applies everywhere in real estate. Number three, I especially like, whatever happens, take responsibility. Your point on this, Tim, we did a podcast on this where you said, whatever happens, it was your fault. Even if technically maybe it wasn't your fault, high achievers believe that they create their own world and that whatever happens, they take responsibility. It's my responsibility. I'll take care of it. So be the leader in your own life by taking that accountability instead of what is unfortunately kind of prevalent in our society now, that it's always somebody else's fault. Well, what if everything was actually your fault? Now you've got to take action on it, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. Take responsibility. This is a major difference between successful people and not. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about that. And this is something we've talked about this in the past podcast. Like I said, Julie and I are in love with all these Tony Robbins points because they're perfectly in alignment with what we think. So when you think about, for example, and I like to give extreme examples because it cuts through the mind clutter really fast. You're in a parking lot today. You're pulling out of Starbucks or wherever, and somebody pulls into you. Nobody's hurt, just a little scuff, no damage, no, don't let your ego start, you know, spinning up, you know, emergency rooms. Just keep it between the lines here, folks. Listen. So some nice old lady hits you, no harm, physical harm done, little scuff on the bumper. Most people would say, I am a victim of what happened to me. That's how they're thinking, would automatically go to, well, I guess I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was a victim. Bad luck, poor me. That's how they would think. Where a winner, or what we want you to think or consider thinking, say this to yourself. That accident, even though this is, you know, to Tony's point, even though it might be a lie to tell yourself this because you didn't actually – you're not the one that scuffed your own car, some lady who didn't know how to drive was, or she wasn't being careful anyway. But you need to tell yourself that I was involved in that little, you know, traffic issue or that little scuff because I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I chose to be there when I was there. I chose to park my car there. I chose to maybe park my car at that particular angle. Okay, so take total responsibility, even on the things that aren't even remotely your responsibility, because that frees you up from victim thinking. Victim thinking is evil. And literally, I mean that. Victim thinking will make you broke, because if you say, for example, have the incident occur that I just described to you, and you say, oh, it's, you know, poor me, basically that's the end result if you say it, you know, happened to me. No, it happened because you chose to be in that particular situation at a particular time. You chose to get coffee at that particular moment or wherever, where, you know, you get it? So all the pieces and parts that led up to that happening were your responsibility. Nothing happened to you. You actually made a series of decisions that chose for that to happen to you, where you chose for that to happen to you. Again, don't be confused. I realize that some random incident like that is out of your control for the most part, but the sort of, as Tony says, lie you're telling to yourself is it was my choice. By saying it was my choice, then you're actually taking control of what happens emotionally. You're not the victim of the incident. You are the creator of the incident, which tells your ego anyway that you then have the ability to make other decisions in the future that might help you to avoid being in similar instances. You are in control. You're not a victim. It's the victim thinking that you must avoid in life. Next point, Julie.
That's it. Okay, number four is, it is not necessary to understand everything to be able to use everything. There's a balance between use and knowledge. Achievers exact the essence from a situation. They take out what they need and they don't dwell on the rest. This is where you get into analysis paralysis in real estate. Some of you guys that are what we call samplers, right? So you go to all the free education you can stuff into your brain. You'll study this. You've got every designation ever created, but you're not taking action on it. It's not necessary to understand and collect all the data before you actually use what's in your head. You've got to take action. I see from a coaching standpoint, this is a major difference, is that the successful types will go forward even if they don't have all the bits and pieces. They take the essence from the situation and they make it their own. Different than, well, I have to do more research. I have to go do a Facebook survey with my friends. They actually take action even if they don't have 100% of the pieces and puzzles. I see that with scripts. Got to memorize the scripts. Got to rehearse it 100 times with my script partners before I'm actually going to pick up the phone call and expired. No, you don't have to massage it to that point to actually earn while you learn. So take action anyway. Hopefully that made sense on my DayQuil.
I know.
I have to listen to it back.
You're Johnson on the DayQuil. You're Johnson on the DayQuil. You're doing better than I do.
Oh, goodness. I need to do – what was the drink we invented, DayQuil and caffeine or something like that to offset it? Anyway, it should be a new Starbucks.
You could sell that, you know.
Definitely.
What would it be called? Someone needs to tell us what the name would be. And throw some foam on top and charge $5. Starbucks would do it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I do need to invent that. Well, you know, the what was it? The Frappuccino was actually invented for real by somebody in line at Starbucks, came up with it. And this is a real thing. You can invent a Starbucks drink. Anyway, I digress.
That must have been a long damn line.
I know, right? So, point number five, people are your greatest resource. Do you respect and appreciate your peers, people who produce outstanding results? They do have a sense of common purpose and unity. Now, how do you apply that to real estate when we're always talking about not having destructive teams that drive your bottom line into nothing and destroy your profitability? Well, you still have people around you. Somebody counted up it takes, on average, 47 different people or entities to actually get a deal to close now, between home inspectors and mortgage lenders and title people and, you know, both agents and all of these things going on. So I would apply this from a coaching standpoint. Are the people that you rely on up to speed with your standards and your expectations? And if they're not, you probably need to go somewhere else for your mortgage business, your home inspector business. You know, I just got off a coaching call about an inspection drama that one of our clients was having. And I remember that we went through several inspectors until we found one that wouldn't almost on purpose freak out the client. So was that someone who was our greatest resource? No. When we got to the right home inspector who would be factual and give them realistic expectations and educate them, well, that person was a great resource. So go through who you're doing business with and ask yourself, can I say that these people are my greatest resources? Anything you want to add to that, Tim, with regards to the people that surround them?
That's the mistake that I sometimes make in my own business, to be honest with you guys, is that I'll allow complacency to creep in the ranks of any aspect of our business, but also, like, even in personal life. Like, maybe you've got – it could just be anybody. And what happens a lot of times is people will start taking your business for granted. They'll start taking your relationship with you for granted. But, again, if that happens, it's your fault. It's your fault because you let it happen. But here's the other thing. You might be in a situation where you have somebody on staff who you think has the capacity to, you know, essentially expand their role in your life and your business, but the reality of it is they might not. They literally might not be able to do what you think that they should be able to do, and as a result of that, you are resenting them. You're angry at them. But it's your fault for having unrealistic expectations of the capacity that person had. Or the flip side to it, too, is you could be in that position. Someone could be having unrealistic expectations of what you can actually do, what you can actually accomplish. And sometimes when you come to head with situations like that, you have to say to yourself, I need to get better at essentially acknowledging that I'm not that great necessarily of seeing through people's real true skill set. Because most people are frankly sucky at just about everything and good at maybe two or three things, if they're lucky. Most people pretty much have no skill set. They have half-finished, marginalized skill set. They don't really know how to do anything, especially in real estate. They just basically fake their way through. They don't have listing presentations. They don't have pre-listing packs. They don't know how to do shit. They're just faking it. Okay? That's the truth. But they're really good with people. When with people, they can totally read them like a book. They operate intuitively, and so that's great. But if you have somebody like that and you hire that person to be, you know, fulfill some role in your business, and you expect that person somehow magically be some organizer of your problems, you know, just somehow to string together your screwed up systems, and you think that person's going to be able to do it, and when they don't, you're like pissed off. Even though maybe even they said to you that they love systems, they can create your systems for you. Maybe their systems are just as bad as your systems were, but you didn't see through your desire. You were a bad you did a bad job being a boss and hiring the wrong person or having the wrong expectations for the skill set that person had to offer. Julie, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I'll give you guys a financial one. Expecting your accountant to know how to give you financial advice. That's
huge.
Kind of a funny thought. Yeah.
Logically, you would think, right? You would think that would be in their wheelhouse. But how many times do we have coaching clients ask us that question? How do I find a good accountant? They're not helping me. They don't come to me with good ideas. They don't come with solutions. They're just cranking out the paperwork. I mean,
that's right.
That's
how many of you expect your broker to tell you how to run your business? How many expect your broker or your office manager to tell you how to make money? Look, guys, brokerage, generally speaking, just makes you broker. Being a broker just makes you broker. That's not a great business. It's a tough business, especially in the day and age of companies like eXp. Good luck brokers competing with that business model unless you're on the super high end. So the reality of it is that in this day and age, if you're really truly going to try to move your business and your personal life forward, you're going to have to be a really good interviewer. You're going to have to be really good at acknowledging what people's true skill sets are in the whole round peg square hole situations where that point took my mind. And by the way, if you guys want to obviously have a free coaching call with one of our new member coaches, just text the word Harris to 31996. Text the word Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, to 31996. And when you do, we're going to give you the 6 free books, including Think and Grow Rich, which Julie just mentioned a couple seconds ago. And, it's funny that a lot of the points that Mr. Robbins uses are right from Think and Grow Rich. It doesn't really surprise me at all, but it is kind of fascinating, isn't it? All right, so I think you have time for maybe a couple more points, Julie.
Yeah, we'll do these quickly. One of the points that successful people apply is that work is play, at least on some level. The world's most remarkable artists and thinkers and creators found joy in their work. There's a Mark Twain quote that goes like this: "The secret of success is making your vocation your vacation." Now, we have actually sold real estate. We get that not every deal is a bowl of cherries, right? We get that. So how can you say you have to love real estate, that this is one of the evergreen objections that we hear from agents? Well, I just don't love being a salesperson. We've done entire podcasts on that. You don't have to love the individual transaction. You don't even have to love the individual clients, but you should love what it affords for yourself and your family, and you should love your ability, assuming that you have created that ability, which is what coaching is about, and building your skill set. You can love the ability to help people at the highest level that you know how to do that. And you can love the hug they give you at closing and when they invite you to their Christmas party and talk about how fabulous their house is and they couldn't have done it without you. So don't grind down into the weeds of all of the, intricacies and the challenges and stresses of real estate deals. Of course you're going to have stuff like that. I don't expect you to love that, but you can love what it affords for you and your family and for the people that you help. I think that is a realistic thing that the successful agents do have their heads screwed on straight about. End point number 7, there's no abiding success without commitment. If you're just trying or dabbling and not committed, there is no promise that you'll reach the end. The most successful people are not necessarily the best and brightest, the fastest or the strongest, but they are the ones with the most commitment. I harass coaching clients all the time about this particular point. Are you in or are you out? If you are just trying out real estate, and sometimes you'll actually say that. It's like the most world's worst negative affirmation there is. Just trying it out. We'll see how it goes. Or when you're trying a new spoke. Well, I'm going to try probate. Okay, just saying that means that you're not actually going to be great at it because you've already decided you're screwing around with it. Are you committed or aren't you? And I'll leave you with Yoda's quote on that. He said, there is no do or do not. I'm sorry. He said, there is no try. There's either do or do not. There is no gray area. And you see it with coaching clients that are just, trying it out, even down to the microscopic day-to-day activity. So when you go up to a listing appointment, have you decided in your mind, because you've used the 7-step listing process, that this is your next listing, that you are not leaving without that signature? Or are you approaching that doorbell thinking, 50% of the time I should be able to do this, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see if we hit it off. That's just screwing around. That's not taking it seriously. You see the difference? Then we could apply this to many, many different things, even your lead follow-up or how you handle an open house. Are you dabbling, or are you doing it at the highest level possible? And I'll throw the end of the call back to you so I can get on Premier.
Yep. Perfect. So, listeners, that's pretty straightforward, right? And Mr. Robbins, thank you for those points. They inspired us for today. Julie and I read have been reading Tony Robbins' books, as a lot of you guys have, since the beginning of time. The thing I like best about Tony, to be honest with you, is the fact that he does, and he not so much anymore, but he liberally borrows from other people like Napoleon Hill and things like that. And a lot of his original books were essentially rehashed NLP stuff. But he admits it. That's what I like about him. He says where he, you know, what he's doing. He doesn't say or try to act like he's pulling the stuff out of the air or somehow mystically it's being delivered to him by, you know, a chariot of, you know, unicorns, right? He's actually saying, this is the information I've got. This is where I got it from. This is where it meant from what it meant to me. And I think that's an honorable way of delivering content, not faking it and acting like it's your original content. So just for what it's worth, when Julie and I are presenting other people's information or presenting it in such a way that we think it's relevant to you guys, we're always going to cite the original source. And you should do the same thing. If you say something or if you're in just out and about and somebody, you know, gave you a little inspiration of, you know, something that you feel necessary to pass along to somebody else, you always should give credit back to that first person because it shows that you have character. That's the other thing. You know, it shows that you're honoring the person who educated you, and by doing that, you're then honoring them again by, you know, saying, look, I heard this from, you know, my preacher, or I heard this from my neighbor, or I heard this from, you know, Dr. whoever, and I thought this might be relevant to you. Just be respectful of things like that. Again, it shows character. So if there's anything we can do for you guys, please always feel free to email me directly, tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. And remember, if you want a free coaching call, if you want to grab those books, just text the word Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, to 31996. Text the word Harris to 31996. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.